was not recorded.
Ouch!
I know.
So, oh, because the last thing I was going to say to Virginia was, be sure to listen to it again because, you know, you'll see things in it that you didn't see before. Oh.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, I just looked up at the screen and realized the record button was not on.
So uh-huh.
It's on now, and I...
Yes, yes, well, good.
Not to put you on the spot, but I just thought it was so beautiful, that piece about relaxing into awareness.
Uh-huh.
And attention moving into that place of relaxation. And I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that's, if you have that still at your fingertips and could just kind of give us...
Well, I think you said it very nicely. The connection that I was wanting to make for people was that conditioned mind will say awareness practice is an efforting thing, the way it tries to make everything a doing.
Yeah.
And so you tense up muscles and you scrunch up your brow and now you're going to be present.
Yeah.
And it's not that fun.
Yeah.
And of course, because the language is all about awareness and awareness practice, people believe that they're doing awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
But if people listen, especially around where we are, mm-hmm. when we talk about meditation, it's just sit and breathe,
mm-hmm.
and relax, and notice.
Mm-hmm.
We're always talking about noticing,
mm-hmm.
and noticing is a word that's meant to denote that kind of relaxed orientation. So if I'm looking for something or if I'm watching something, you know, there's kind of that energy behind it. But if I'm just noticing,
yeah.
it just went across in front of my awareness, and I noticed that it was there. And that's the place that we are moving into,
mm-hmm.
with awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then,
now, it's not the same as going unconscious or going to sleep,
right.
But because of conditioned mind stories to us, we think that being present is doing. Being present is actually the opposite of doing, and practicing awareness is the opposite of doing, and it's the most active thing a person can participate in. Completely
okay.
active, and there's no doing.
Yeah, it's the most active thing a person can do, and there's no doing in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's beautiful. And then Virginia's point about how it's a tender place.
Yes.
I thought was really quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And worth putting on the recording.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those moments, huh?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. So there we go. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You got somebody else for us?
We have lots of other folks.
Good.
Next caller, you're now live on there, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Sherry and Jen, this is George.
Hey, George.
Hi, I haven't
heard your voice in a very long time.
I know.
What's going on?
Well, I am actually lying on my back here with pillows propped under my knees with an interesting combination of sciatica and Lyme disease.
Oh, good grief.
Good grief is right. that's the appropriate response.
Wow.
And it's interesting because it is good grief. Actually, good grief.
Beneficial grief.
To, huh?
Beneficial, helpful grief.
Yeah.
Illuminating
yeah.
grief.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know, is, you know, before I began practice and working with you and the Sangha and everything, that I would have been able to say that, but now I can.
Probably not. It's not a popular orientation, is it?
Oh.
In fact, you have to be careful who you even say things like that to, or they'll decide there's a mental component to your issues.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Yeah.
That's
well,
a grisly combo, though. My
oh my
God.
Gosh! It's really I have never experienced such pain. And
well, and of course I've known you long enough, and we've shared a common interest. for long enough to know that there's a third possible component to this, which is depression.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting because what it's provided for me is the opportunity to practice the, I guess you would call it a mantra, one of your old mantras, actually, or it's been around for a long time, that pain is inevitable and suffering is optional.
Mm-hmm.
So I can actually say that for the most part, outside of a few really intense days when I couldn't sleep even a minute during the night. It was just so ridiculously painful, and at which, of course, I indulged in cursing heaven left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But outside
of... this must be somebody's fault, right?
Yeah, right. I am a victim, after all.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know...
Fair.
You can get some agreement there, actually. Yeah.
So, but outside of that, it's really been, I haven't suffered.
God, isn't that the best?
Oh, it's humble. It's really, I'm really, and of course, when I first kind of realized that, ego jumped right on that and said, well, you know, aren't I something now? I mean, here I've got all this pain and I'm not suffering. I must be really advanced in my practice, and boy, that's just great and everything else. And then it was like the next day when I got hit so hard that it just knocked the stuffing out of me, and that's when I was railing against heaven.
Uh-huh.
I realized, you know, I was definitely suffering.
Not so advanced today.
Huh?
Not so advanced today. It must be a one step forward, one step back sort of process.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. But I really have been just delighted by... In a way, it is kind of like a test, you know. I mean, I don't believe that we're here to be tested or anything else, but for me, it sort of functioned as a test of like, well, you know, where am I at this point? You know, how, because there's so much loss here. I mean, there's loss of comfort. There's loss of you know, just feeling good. There's loss of, I mean,
being
I was,
able to get up and go somewhere. Or do
something. There's no get up and go. There's no get up and go. It's pretty much lying around and shuffling around at best. And I was in the midst of this project that I was very excited about, which was, you know, growing all these vegetables and managing this local farmer's market here and selling all these vegetables. And really, this year has been... I've just learned so much with these new nutrient-dense methodologies that I'm so excited about, but it just took me out of the picture. It's just gone. You know, I can barely walk out to look at the garden, let alone stoop over and pick anything, or, you know. So there's a lot of loss, but, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, in, you know, what you're just talking about, and being that in that place of awareness where, you know, it's kind of beyond gain and loss and beyond success and failure and beyond all those dualisms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just life, and there's a certain surrender to it. It's not like I'm not doing all I can to heal myself and seeing the right doctors and all of that, but it's not that kind of giving up surrender. It's just
That's that place again, where for ego, it's a doing and it's a success or failure. It's a right or wrong. But with practice, what we get is there's this place where we do the very best we can. We do everything we can. But it's not from a place of there's something wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Which I can't tell you what a difference that makes. I mean, well, you know. You know.
I do know. I absolutely do know. And again, as we were talking about with Virginia, people can point us to that. You know, people are talking about it all the time, right? That,
yeah.
That the paradox of that. And it just, for conditioned mind, it's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You can't even imagine it. But when you drop into it, it's like there's this completely different way of being in life. And we have the words to describe it. We don't have the experience to put with the words. But when we drop into the experience, suddenly it all makes perfect sense. So
yeah.
There you are with all this stuff going on, and if you live in a world of how ego, the illusion of a separate self, wants it to be, thought it was going to be, knows it should be, then the suffering is massive.
Oh,
but
God,
when you're just there, you're actually as alive as you've ever been. You have the ability in ways, more ability, to experience the peace and the joy of simply being alive.
Yes, yes. There's a peace and a joy and a gratitude.
Yes.
Of simply being alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what everybody's talking about, right? That's what the Buddha was trying to get us to see. That's what Jesus was trying to get us to see. That's what everybody who has had that experience is trying to get us to see, that all of this stuff that we think is what we want and think is who we are and what we need and what life is all about, all of those things are actually keeping us from having the experience we actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah? And sometimes we have to get knocked flat on our back. And all control taken away from us, and we're completely helpless. And then, if we're very, very fortunate, we fall into that place, and there we are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
This is it. Now, when I'm well, when I don't have sciatica, when the Lyme disease is gone, and whatever is going on, this is how I still want to feel.
Yes, yes, yes. And then I can enjoy as Thich Nhat Hanh used to say, my non-toothache, you know,
yes.
my non-sciatica.
Yes, yes, exactly. But it, for me anyway, and I bet for you, if I have to choose, so I can either have the peace and joy of simply being, or I can have the busy life being dragged around by ego. As soon as I know the joy of and peace of simply being, that's what I'm going to pick. Because the other is hollow. It promises us the peace and the joy, but it never delivers it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
Well, I'll be thinking about you.
Okay.
I'll just be thinking about you.
Yeah.
Because clearly, you know, you've got the practice that you need to be able to take care of yourself.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
To me, it's the greatest gift we can have in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so many thanks and much appreciation for what we do together.
Yes, absolutely. It's great to hear from you, George.
Oh, it's great, great to be in touch.
Mm-hmm. Take good care, as I know you will.
Yep.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, George. It's another beautiful call, Sherry. And we are going to take a break to hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Jen.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What sky Great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we have a number of other callers, so...
We better talk to them.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Judith.
Well, hello, Judith. How are you?
I'm very excited to get through.
Yes. What's going on in all that excitement?
Yeah. It's not anxiety, it's excitement.
I know. Don't you love that?
I do love that.
Yeah. Oh, talk about one of the secrets of the universe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to express my gratitude to Michael indirectly for getting the current show into the archive so promptly, because my computer's too old to listen that way. And so I was very pleased to find it within a few days.
Oh, very good.
Last week.
Hopefully he's listening, and wherever he is, or he'll hear soon, and he'll hear your gratitude. So he'll feel good.
So I have a number of little things that might all come under the heading of practice as a topic.
Mm-hmm.
I gave myself a phone guidance appointment in June for a birthday present, and I discussed with the monk my desire to focus on directing the attention as a practice activity.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later, my best friend had a massive stroke.
Oh.
And was not found for several days.
Oh.
But she was put into this really state-of-the-art facility and is making some recovery. It's too soon to tell, you know, how far she will get. And she's not that young, and she had other health problems, but she really wanted to live. And the hardest thing is that she's 4 hours away, and I'm not able to travel that far.
Mm.
So it's, you know, spiritual opportunity, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I've been
in capital letters, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how I would have gotten through it without my practice.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of directing the attention, I'll tell you that.
Uh-huh.
And... I'm getting more and more ability to recognize the voices of conditioning at work earlier in their process, you know.
Mhm.
Which is very helpful.
And are you doing some recording and listening with it?
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got three recorders, and when this event happened, I just had a limited amount of time left on my recorder, and my friend who downloads my recorders for me wasn't going to be back for a couple of weeks, so I had to ration my time, and that was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm making up for it by talking several times a day to the mentor and the body, and that has been great.
Yeah, it's such a comfort, isn't it, to
it
have
really
somebody
is.
To talk to. Yeah.
And I listen all night. I mean, I plug myself into the recorder all night, and I'm sleeping better than I have in 20 years.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I also wanted to make a testimonial, this is all related, to the value of the year-long retreat.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I knew that was something I wanted to do, but I'm just now finding out halfway through, you know, the process, why why I wanted to do it, even though I didn't know then. It just, I mean, it intensifies your practice. It deepens your practice. No matter what the topic is, you're upping your game by doing the year-long retreat.
Yes, which is, of course, why there's so much resistance to us doing it, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because when we, at the first of the year, you know, I'm going to sign up for all of these things. I'm going to commit to all of these things that are going to happen in the year. You know, conditioning just gets a case of whim-whams because every time we do anything with practice, we're deepening our practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we have a lot of things that we're doing, and in our practice, of course, there are so many things a person can do. There's always something that can be read and recorded. You know, there are things that we can do that cost money. There are a ton of things that we can do that don't cost money. And so every day there are things that we can participate in. And the more we do, the more we're here. And we talk about directing the attention, there it is, right? Instead of being off wandering around with conditioned mind wherever it's going, we're training ourselves more and more to come back here, come back here, come back here. Because this is where practice happens. And whatever the practice is, it happens here. And when we practice, we're here, and here is where we want to be.
Yeah, it's harder to, it's actually harder to be identified, I think.
Yes, we come to quicker, don't we?
Yeah, and it's getting to be more, I don't know, closer, closer contact with practice every day.
Mm-hmm. And you know that the thing about the year-long class. So of course, people who sign on for that pay for it.
Yeah.
Right. And that really puts karmic conditioning in a bind, right? Because if I'm going to do something and it costs X amount of money and it's coming up 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month in the future, then the debate starts, right? Well, that costs too much money, or you're not going to have time, or it's not going to be that interesting anyway, and so don't do it. But I've already paid for it. And karmic conditioning tends to have a really hard time with, I paid for something, and I'm not going to do it. Right?
That's good.
So, yeah. So it's not an accident that we do it that way. Because people will have, of course, a greater weight on their side. You know, the person who wants to practice is going to have more weight on their side because they've already paid for it. And you're committed. That's all there is to it. And so you're going to do it. And the
That's
voices
right.
aren't going to say that much because they're certainly not going to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter if you paid for it. Don't do it anyway, because they're always honest about what we're spending money on and is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it a waste of money? Is it too much? Is it whatever it is? So it's a good technique, good strategy.
So many good things about it, and I'll let you go because it's been more than 5 minutes. But I'm so grateful for it, and I'm appreciating the heck out of it.
Yeah, good. Well, it's great to hear from you, and I'm glad it's working. And we'll send some good energy toward your friend, huh?
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Jude.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we still have lots of folks, so I'm just going to move us on to the next person.
Good. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on there, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie. From
hey, Valerie.
Hi.
How are you? How are you
I'm
doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling... I've got the open air junkie syndrome, and so I decided I've been listening to it so much I'm gonna call in. And
very good. Very good.
I also kind of had a breakthrough with the types and the Yannick ground types. And I feel a lot more compassion and just so much opening from understanding it, giving it another shot. And I'm able to notice and describe things and then have less self-hate around it. And then I have more room to go to things like, well, mentor has to be priority and, you know, meditation has to be priority. So I just wanted to say that that happened, and that I feel a lot happier. I feel a lot happier.
You know, it really is too bad that we don't have, now maybe somebody does, but I don't, and most of the people I've ever met don't, have the ability to just accept ourselves because we are. Yeah, we've got a lot of not good feedback for who we are, and we've taken that on, right? So then every time we learn something about ourselves that is affirming, it gives us permission to accept ourselves.
Yes, and I've got When You're Falling Dive, and I read that for the first time recently, and so I'm like really excited about, okay, so I've got all these parts. I'm seeing that this is a system in this way of Enneagram, and I'm able to describe it, you know, to myself.
You don't have to take it personally, right?
Yeah, I'm a lot more relaxed, you know?
Yes.
It's like even
yes.
if somebody has something bad to say about me, it's like, well, you're not in my head. And I just feel a whole lot more relaxed. And listening to Open Air helps me be at center or have an idea of what center could be, you know? And it's just, I feel a lot happier with this, in this moment, at least. Who knows, you know?
Well, that's
you know,
all we've got is this moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as we're happier in this moment, we're more relaxed, more at peace, more accepting of ourselves, feel more compassion. Okay. Well, we'll drag that to the next moment instead of the stuff we've been dragging to the next moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
okay.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, again, when we have a definite experience like the one you're describing, when we have a relationship with the mentor, you can make recordings of these awarenesses, the things that you have realized, the difference in how you feel and how you are. You record that. And then you can listen to it. You can listen to it regularly, and it brings you back to the same place. And so this moment, the new moment, becomes a little kinder and a little more relaxed and a little happier. And then you record that, and you add to it. And you just keep building that relationship with the mentor and relaxing into the moment, and life feels better and better and better. And in that way, we go forward.
That way you go forward.
Building in that way. Just moment by moment, adding a little more compassion, a little more understanding, a little more acceptance, a little more kindness, a little more. And it builds from moment to moment to moment to moment. Yeah?
Yep, I have, and then comes the doubt, but, you know, that's a whole fun issue to take on with.
That's right. And when the doubt comes, just reach over, pick up the recorder, hit play, go right back to what you know to be true.
I'm just shaking. So much energy being on here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's very good. That's great to hear from you. I tell you, this has been an excellent experience for me. I've heard from so many people I haven't heard from in a long time. So I'm enjoying this.
Good. Good.
You take care of yourself, huh?
You take care, too. Thank you.
All right, I will. Thank you, Valerie. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Valerie. It is so fun to hear from people, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best.
Hear what they're up to.
Yep, it's the best.
Yeah, it's really great. And
that's the best job in the world.
It really is. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Time for at least one more caller, so let's see
Good.
Who else we've got. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Jen. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
How are you, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How are you tonight?
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I've had a couple conversations with you about physical health opportunities, and I wanted to follow up tonight. And specifically, I'm kind of feeling confused, and I realize it's kind of a place that I've been for a long time with it, and maybe a duality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the duality, well, I want to say also that I'm really interested in, you know, developing a relationship with a mentor, which I feel like I have in terms of compassion, but also kind of, you know, looking at how to have conversations with a mentor where I receive guidance.
Uh-huh.
Which I feel like I do on some issues, and then others just seem like I can't really, you know, I've had lots of conversations with a mentor about this, but I don't really seem to be clear at all.
Okay.
So
I don't know if you're going somewhere else, Jeff, but I would love to explore that one with you.
Oh yeah, please.
Okay. So if you could give me an example, so you've had lots of conversations with the mentor on a particular subject, but you don't feel like you have clarity.
Mm.
Is that?
Yes. What I would say about it is that it's like there on this particular issue, I don't really, the mentor will reflect, but I don't, but there's nothing coming through. Like I don't really, you know, there's just nothing there that I'm receiving in terms of any, you know, information, guidance, feedback, anything.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of support, but nothing, you know, no particular guidance that I,
okay.
that I can do.
So what is it that you want from the mentor?
Yeah, great question. So shall I go into the specific issue and kind of, okay.
Yeah, give me the reader to digest.
Yeah, right, okay. So briefly, for the last 6 or 7 years, I've been experiencing increasing pain and increasing numbers of injuries and decreasing the amount of activity that I participate in. So the basic duality is, do I need to at what level of pain and so on is there a problem? At what level of pain do I need to be backing off from? And at what level do I just need to be like, okay, that's an acceptable level of pain to, you know, and I work through physical therapy and have some pain in the physical therapy and so on. So I guess what I'm looking for is, you know, how can I participate in healing the body in a way that's moving me forward rather than shrinking, and which direction to go in, you know. So that's kind of like the basic.
Okay. Well, I see. I can see the mentor's difficulty with that, because I would project there is no answer.
Mm.
And this is the reason. So it, in essence, to me, what you're saying is, so what should I do tomorrow? What would be the best thing for me to do tomorrow? And so the mentor might say, So you're wondering what would be the best thing for you to do tomorrow, and you would say yes. But you see, that's a question that cannot be answered. Except
because it's
in this way.
The future?
Yeah, that's right. Except in this way. Well, you'll probably just need to get to the time that you're now thinking of as tomorrow and see what is so then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we know this all the time. You know, there are times when you need more sleep than other times. Times when you eat more than other times. Times when you whatever. The body is constantly changing. Sometimes this food feels good. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you, right? And so all we can do is pay really close attention to what is the case now. Because otherwise, to come up with an idea about I'm going to do this or I can do this, it puts in charge of your life conditioned mind, which I'm betting you just don't want to have happen. But if you're always present and you're looking to see, at this point, pushing that much feels like a good thing to do. At this point, no, the body is saying no. Today I can do this, and it's not even uncomfortable. Another day, it might be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other calls that we've had tonight, this very thing is what we've been talking about in different ways, that we have to be here in this moment, present, to have a sense of what is so in this moment.
I'm partway with you, and then what's coming up for me now is, and I know it's a conditioned mind question, but I'll say it anyway, which is how am I going to know? Because I keep experiencing that, you know, that same pain, and I experience that same pain, and I experience, except just, you know, it's probably not the same pain. I'm just, my mind saying it's the same pain, but, and, you know, so what, you know, it's like, you know, this is what the mind's saying. Well, what does it mean? Which direction do I go with it? And, you know,
that's
am I
right.
going the right
and
way or the wrong way?
And there you go. And it's, you know, it's kind of basic when you consider it. The pain is in your body, not in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the mind is where you go to deal with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Which we could say for just about all conditioned people, that's happening all the time. Almost none of what we're experiencing is a mind issue, but the mind is where we go for a relationship with what the mind has nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's being in those sensations so completely, being with the body. Letting the body inform you, not conditioned mind. Letting the body inform you. That's the relationship that you want to build. Yeah? And the mentor can definitely help you build that relationship. But it won't result in meaning or formulas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I could talk, instead of talking to the mentor about, you know, what should I do, which direction to go, or, you know, please give me some guidance here and that. It's more like, you know, how can I develop a closer relationship with the body in this moment?
How
can I be very present right now?
Yes, only, of course, right now you want to be more present. Then you want to talk to the mentor about that process. So, you know, I'm going to take off and I'm going to do some wind sprints. Okay? Okay, and so I do that, and I notice what's going on with me, and then I talk to the mentor about that, about what conditioning is doing, about having to say about that, or where that goes, or whatever, and then I do what I do. Now I'm going to, whatever it is, play golf. And so I'm paying attention. I'm with the body. I'm watching that happen. And then I talk to the mentor about it.
It's kind of like anything else we might do in group or in a conversation on open air, where we're talking about process then in a conversation.
Yes.
Whatever processes are coming up, so talk about those processes and kind of shed a light on them, look at them from different angles, you know, explore them with recording and listening and with the mentor and so on.
And then you go out there. So, you know, if it's public speaking, you know, we talk about it, well, watch this and the sensations and, you know, the meanings that are made, and it's not that. Okay, so we're bringing all this awareness to it, and then you got to get up there and give a speech. And you're watching what happens. Okay, and then you come back and we talk, and you say, and then I went completely blank, and I just, you know, blah, 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 blah. We talk about it and how you breathe and you focus, and then you go make another speech. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just basically start to be directing my attention into the body rather than trying to get somewhere.
That's exactly it, Jeff. That's it. Well stated. All of your attention and awareness is with the body. And the body, the intelligence of the body will inform you. Now, it may come as a thought. It may will probably be in English. But you will pretty quickly sense that it's not coming from conditioned mind. It's clarity. It's insight. It's intuition. It's not a conversation about. It's an expression of direct experience.
Right, but my job is to be with the body and give up on
That's
trying
right.
to get somewhere.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
Great. Thank you, Sherry, very much.
You are so welcome. Let me know.
Okay, will do. Good night.
All right, thanks. Good night, Jeff.
Good night.
Good night, Jen.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, that was a fabulous conversation. I really appreciated the process piece of that, and it reminds me of how you'll often say, you know, people would say, I need a piece of advice on this, and you'll say, well, actually, I don't give advice. And it reminds that's exactly what the mentor's doing. The mentor's facilitating us, not telling us what we should or shouldn't do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when we don't get an answer and we keep looking, sooner or later, from somewhere, it's going to drop in the direction that's going to be most helpful for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and very much like we started out with Barbara talking about the email class and what a gift it is for everyone to participate, it's such a gift that people call in and talk about what they're seeing, because now all of us now have access to that same process that Jeff is looking at. It.
Yes,
so
yes. Generous. And I particularly appreciated it tonight that there was a theme through this.
Yes.
People had very different content.
Yes.
But the theme was the same. We were all looking at that one little razor's edge there.
Yeah. Sangha is the best.
Sangha is the best.
And,
well, practice in Sangha.
Practice in Sangha, right. True.
Yeah.
And
all
next
right.
week, Michael will be back with us, so we'll be back to our usual routines.
All right. I'll look forward to it. And thank you for tonight, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.